This is for the nerds, this is for the brainiacs, this is what we deserve. Go ahead and play it back, you ain't gonna touch me, you not gonna do nothing, you are not above me, I bet you wish you was me, I know it, I know.
What is poppin', everybody? And welcome back to another special episode of the Only Friends Podcast. Well, you know, it's me and my only friends, which includes, but is not limited to, my boy Lando.
How we doing?
You throw it to him so infrequently that you don't even have like a respectable nickname for him.
He went back to Lando. Back. Well, back to almost back.
Landon.
It was twice this week. You know, I can't complain.
Did you see that? Did you see that Pirate game yesterday?
He just wasn't ready.
I didn't see it. I was trying to. I was waiting for the. It brings me back to my college baseball gambling days where I would bet on things and I wouldn't be able to watch it and leave my phone. And on the app, it would say in play run parentheses S if something good or bad happened. I was trying to sweat that, and I got fucked. You guys fucked me.
Yeah. Why?
We're the Pirates. This is what battle, baby. We are the battling Bucks.
Oh, because you're from Florida.
Yeah.
Oh, so you care about the Marlins.
Look at this team.
I care about the Marlins. Beautiful. Hey. I care about the Marlins more than, like, the Rays.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a mistake.
But I don't care about any... I don't care about them that much.
Well, you should... Right. You're close.
Well, of course you don't care about them that much. We're going to the game Saturday. We offered you a ticket, and you said no.
Correct. Yeah.
Wow.
That would make you not care.
Don't worry. Right. You can get a ticket anytime you want. That place was empty on opening day.
Yeah. Well, that's what Platt told me was going to happen.
I thought, like, okay, we'll have one sellout. But, like, it was literally like...
Is it just hard to sell out there?
The whole upper deck was completely empty.
They're not going to sell out 4 p.m. on a Thursday.
Guys.
Yeah, but, I mean, the Pirates will.
It is the Marlins versus the Pirates. It's not happening.
No, I know. It's not happening. It's wild. So, I can only imagine. We're going to be... Definitely an empty park. It's funny because you could tell that even the people that showed up, like, it was probably like their first time ever at a baseball game. There'd be like a routine pop up, and they'd be like, ah! And you just hear the whole crowd just start cheering on like a routine pop up, thinking it's a home run. Like,
you know, Miami's been spoiled. They, wow. Man, really get that hat line in there. That's why I took it off. It was bothering me. Here we go.
You keep your hats on too tight.
No, it's not. It's not that.
Okay, what else could it be?
It's this. I'll show you. I'll literally show you. It's this stupid. The stupid tag.
Mm.
Very.
Yeah.
Very rough. I mean, I could just wear it forward.
God, that's a great shirt, Burke.
Thanks.
With the low key Eaton Park cookie in the middle, like
that's right.
People, you know, if you're not from Pittsburgh, you're not going to get that.
Yep. Eaton Park.
What
the place?
What the happy face?
Smiles. Yeah, but that's
like a classic happy face though. It's mm-hmm. like the take care, like take out happy face.
It is, but it's not.
What does that mean?
Wow, you said it means it's deeper than that, man.
It's deeper than that.
You wouldn't understand.
You would just, if you looked at that, you would just think that's a smiley face and move on with your life, but
right.
not
but
knowing
it's
that it's actually a cookie? Eaton Park smiley face cookie.
The only reason,
God, I want one right now.
The only reason I would
so
push
bad.
Back against
oh, they're
that
so good.
Are they're not yellow though, right? They're white.
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
They're different. They come.
I'm not going to be a Jagoff.
They come in different colors. They come in different colors. They make those ones like that.
Mm-hmm.
They're like when the Steelers are in the playoffs or something like that. You know. Yeah,
don't be a Jagoff.
Yeah, you got to eat your feelings.
You know, Jagoff is in the dictionary now.
I know. It is.
They added it.
Of course, it's a word.
Despite Andy Zuzulo writing
Burke,
them,
you watched that game yesterday, right?
Hundreds of letters. Yeah. I was in between watching and sweating the Pirate game, taking a nap, and enjoying the greatest sweat of all time in a golf bet that I know nothing about.
Oh yeah, what happened there?
and Conrad, being the genius sharp that he is. Manages to just get us a big fucking scoop. So to catch everybody up that may not have seen yesterday's episode, we had some intel that my man, what's his name, Clark?
Wyndham Clark.
Wyndham Clark, who won this tournament last year. He had tweaked his back.
He's okay. Coming
spasms.
In.
Spasms. Might pull out by the end of Sunday.
He said.
Go on.
Nice. And we were betting against him. Well, Conrad places the wrong bet. So instead of getting a bet of, I think it was Zielinski or something, Zielinski Motors.
Zolteris.
Whatever, Zolteris. We were
Zielinski.
We were basically just betting that Clark would pull out by Sunday.
So we wanted Zoltaris against the bet was supposed to be Zoltaris versus Clark
for the whole tournament.
The whole tournament, right. As supposed.
Like whoever finishes better.
Yes, yeah. But what I got was Sue Woop versus
his name is not
Clark.
Sue Woop.
No, but that's his name now.
I like
now. It.
I like Sue Woop.
Sue Woo Kim
versus Clark for the round.
For the round only. He was stuck four with eight
holes
left.
One. So basically the whole premise was that we were betting this guy would pull out by Sunday.
Right.
And instead we end up making a bet that now all of a sudden he's going to lose day one.
Back spasms are back spasms.
And hey, you know what? The guy came out. He's not hurt. Not one fucking bit.
Doing good.
Just playing pristine golf.
Limber as fuck.
However, he did shit down his leg on the 16th and the 18th, giving Su Wu the advantage, finishing minus one to his even. And somehow we just scooped fucking 6K.
Suwu was an up and down legend.
Real accident.
We short also, game strong.
We also have a 110-1 shot on, what's his name?
Malatini.
Yeah, Malatini.
Something like that.
Somehow finished minus two. Was it minus two?
Yeah, he finished minus two yesterday.
And he's on the leaderboard.
Hold on.
He's in the top 10.
Hold on, I have a question. Does this make you or Conrad right? Definition of jagoff, parentheses, chiefly in Western Pennsylvania. Is that Midwestern?
I don't think it has anything
no, Western,
to do with...
It means it's the Western side of the state.
Which is... So nobody, nobody's debating that.
The Western
stupid,
side
Pittsburgh
of
is definitely
is in
Western
the
Pennsylvania.
Midwest.
Stupid, irritating, or contemptible person.
Yeah,
sounds
that's right.
Oxford English Dictionary.
Goddamn right. We've made it, boys.
You made it. That's how you know you made it.
The Yinzerisms have made it.
Jagoff.
Fucking jagoff.
Happy about that?
It's a big part of Hollywood these days.
Oh, no.
Jagoff has gotten its way in there.
Malatini's plus two right now.
Fuck.
I mean, he's even, so he's plus two for the
day. We should have hedged. Should have fucking hedged, man.
You
we had our
got
shot.
Lucky enough, man.
We had our
you
shot.
You got lucky enough.
Yeah. God, man, just
step
in shit.
He was stuck four strokes with like eight left.
Yeah. he's down two strokes on the ninth. It's a par three. And he smashes it and comes out of the ninth down four going into the turn. And Connor goes, striking distance, baby. I'm like, I'm going to take a nap. I'm going to put the Pirates on in the background. I'm
he wasn't
take a
down
nap.
That much when I said that. He was down two when I said that. And then he ended up going down four by the 12th or something like that.
I don't know how you could sleep with me texting you every 5 minutes.
when you were texting me, I was awake. I saw the home run.
You put him on mute like he does in the group chat.
Yeah, the group chat. No, I saw the oh my God, his name is escaping me now. Right
Cruz?
Fielder. No, the right fielder.
Oh, Olivares?
Or sorry, the left fielder.
He would pinch hit. That was a pinch hit.
No. That was way later in the game. The first home run. Why can't I think of his name right now? We signed him to
Brian
a good
Reynolds.
Deal. Brian Reynolds. Thank you. Oh. Jesus Christ.
All right. Yeah.
I saw his home run, and then I saw 10 people strike out in a row, and I was like, you know what? It's nap time. We're down two. I'll see what's going on in the later innings. Woke up around the seventh, which was about the 16th hole of the golf.
Yep.
And I got two big sweats out of it. We ended up scooping 6K. Pirates win in extra innings. Everybody's happy.
The only reason you care is because it's their early opening day. Like, you still have a chance.
I will care until they no longer have a shot. So, all-star weekend-ish.
All right.
Give or take.
I think they're going to be in it till at least August.
That means they'll be buyers at the deadline.
Yes, I think so. Wow. I think they will be buyers at the deadline.
You think they're going to buy everybody a hot dog at the deadline? That's so fucking
hope
cool.
I get one.
I think the biggest reason why I have a hard time believing in your vision is that their staff is not deep at all. Like, we have a rookie number three and no number four.
We have a rookie number
three. It's really hard to rely on that.
No, don't get me wrong. He is the number four.
Well, then who's the number? No, we're watching him pitch game three.
We're watching pitch game three, but the number three guy is now pitching the fifth slot, so we don't have Bailey Falter out there for our opening day, our home opener.
When did teams move to a 5-man rotation?
A long time ago.
I feel like it's always been
long,
four.
The '90s.
No, '90s.
It's been five for a long
90s
time.
'90s were always four.
I don't even remember four.
Honestly, yeah. I'm serious.
Yeah. You have 4-man rotation in the playoffs, you reduced it down to three.
No, it's been five for as far back as I can remember.
Well, that makes it even worse. It seems pretty clear we don't have five good starters.
Right, we don't. We have one, really.
Right.
But we don't know. I mean, we'll see.
Maybe
we'll,
two.
Perez might be okay. Gonzalez, we'll see. And then Bailey Falter, no, he's terrible. I don't even know why he's in the rotation. It should be Luis Ortiz, who pitched two innings of relief and extras and looked great, which I think eventually he will get that role.
There was a reliever who came in for Miami. I think he threw the 9th, 10th, and 11th.
Was he a lefty? He might have been a lefty. I don't know. Anyway, he only did two pitches. He threw a two-seamer and a slider. And my God, I don't know how anybody hits this man.
Yeah.
First of all, it was funny because the first batter he faced, I think, was Reynolds. And he got two very generous calls.
Mm-hmm.
And Reynolds was like really upset about it. Reynolds ends up getting a single.
Mm-hmm.
And then he gets squeezed for the, like the next three batters, where the umpire actually somehow took Reynolds' discontent into consideration, and he just starts squeezing the fuck out of this guy. And I'm thinking to myself, like, man, if they don't call strikes for this man, he's just never going to get people out because he just nibbles
lives on
the edge of the strike zones, and his ball moves a fucking foot every time he throws either one of these two pitches. And they did end up like getting to him, so it was a good thing for the Pirates. But man, that guy was fucking nasty.
Yeah,
I'll take a foot of movement over 100 miles an hour any day. Like, give me Pedro throwing 92 with 6 inch of break on his two seam any day of the week over a guy throwing 101 flat. Which, for what it's worth, the little bit that I got to see of Chapman, he only threw one inning, right? Looked okay, but like he only threw two fastballs.
I know.
It was weird to see him come out and throw 83.
Yeah, he did what he needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess
so. Looked sharp.
83, 83, 83, 101.
All right. Did you guys see the Yankees yesterday?
No.
No, but I did see they won.
They beat 5-4. The Astros 5-4. You know, our new addition, Juan Soto, with the outfield assist to end the game, basically. Oh, wow.
That's nice. I like that.
You know, beautiful thing.
What
beautiful
a crazy thing to highlight in baseball. You have walk-off home runs. You have fucking striking out the side to end the game.
I mean, if you're throwing somebody out from the outfield to end the game, that's pretty cool.
If you watch it, yes. Like, if you get to see that highlight, yes,
I'm gonna actually go back and watch it.
Probably the least interesting thing on the earth to talk about.
It was so
cool. Josh Bell had 3 fucking assists in extra innings.
This guy could never throw the ball ever. I understand why they ran on him, and it's just like, and he just throws a strike to like home plate.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy to be able to throw a strike from fucking 62 feet away.
For him, yes. His entire career, he's not been able to do it.
Jesus Christ, how fucking inept do they think these guys are? Speaking of inept, we got a lot to talk about today. WSOP back in the muck.
That was like a self alley-oop off the backboard, you know? Anthony Edwards type shit.
Yeah, yeah. We're windmilling over here, man. I'm not fucking around today. Yeah.
WSOP is.
They're finding out too.
That's why you wore that shirt.
Don't be a jagoff, guys. You know, just don't do it. All right, so let's start first and foremost with the announcement. Yesterday, WSOP announced the TOC, which people have been clamoring about since the schedule came out. The schedule came out like, what, mid-February-ish? Something like
Sounds
that?
Sounds right.
Okay, so now we're entering the first week of April.
It's coming soon, man. 2 months.
Yeah. Yeah, 2 months until the WSOP and about 6 weeks until this Tournament of Champions. So this was announced. It's going to be hosted at the Commerce, which I can't imagine.
I had to read that 3 times.
A worst place on earth to host.
There's got to be some. Did they get hacked?
It's not April Fool's yet. So
this is such a choice.
This is a troll. That's what this is.
So this is going to be the WSOP Circuit Championship. Actually, I don't even know. That's the wrong way of framing it. This is going to be the final circuit stop.
Correct.
So they're putting a full series together, which is, was this always commonplace? No, because the last 2 years it's been during the WSOP.
So
right?
Last 2 years it was WSOP. The years before that was Cherokee, AC. I mean, like 3 years or 4 years at Cherokee.
It was forever at Cherokee.
And then it was at AC.
So when it was at Cherokee, they did it differently. It was, you had to have won a circuit event to get in. Otherwise, if you were a part of a player of the year list, so to speak, mm-hmm. so you've accumulated enough points by playing, you could then buy in for $10,000.
They also gave
so the
you,
seat was worth a lot.
Yeah, they also gave you like free rooms and stuff, I feel right. like, or yeah, something yeah, like
they
that.
Did. They did. So that was like, definitely factored in.
It's just like a lot of shit. And now it's like, I don't know, 550 people and it's probably worth nothing. I mean, last year it was 900 people.
Way,
right?
way over. Last year it was, Kev Math tweeted, I think it was 780 or something along those lines.
Okay.
It's already 600 plus this year.
It's a million in the prize pool?
1 million in the prize pool. So the seats are continually worth less and less and less.
Right.
Obviously. So the idea behind this is now they're making it a final tour stop, which I guess used to be the case when it was the TOC in Cherokee. I'm not sure if they ran other events around it or not.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure they
did. It was long enough. But anyway, 18 rings are going to be up for grabs prior to the TOC championship or
that's redundant. Prior to the Tournament of Champions, those 18 winners will all also make their way in. So it seems as though this is a push to get this series some credibility, some clout. I also believe that, and I'm speculating here, I don't know this to be true, but I'm guessing, and I don't think this is much of a long shot, I'm guessing that this is it being hosted at Commerce. The reason why the partnership with Commerce took place is because of GG's affiliation with Bally. So my best guess is we're going to see these things live streamed.
Yeah, they said that. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, they did?
I'm pretty sure they did.
Okay.
In the comments, Wayne said all final tables will be live streamed.
There you go. So this is going to be 19 streams over the course of a couple of weeks.
Well, they got
in
the beautiful
LA.
Set to do it with. Oh, so, man. I mean,
that black
well,
drop.
The good news is they already have all the branding that they can just swap out now from Commerce to GG. So that'll be easy. You know, just it's like NASCAR, man. You know, you just change the fucking change the backdrop from the Bally logo to the GG logo, and we all move on with our
so
life.
So is there thought like, well, if we move the Tournament of Champions there, now we kind of force people to go to Commerce to play in this series because they're getting a free tournament anyways. They'll probably just go for the whole series then.
Yes. And also,
which
I
mean, is kind of sharp on their part.
Well, I mean, sure, if you want,
but it's inconvenient.
But that was also true of the WSOP, right? The thing that people, I think, forget is that they now give a bracelet away, not a ring, for the Tournament of Champion. So the winner of this actually gets a WSOP bracelet. This is a bracelet event. This is the first bracelet event live that we've seen not in Vegas, outside of, obviously, Bahamas and Europe. Oh. Right. So on American soil, this will be the first bracelet event that's ran outside of Las Vegas, Nevada.
Seems so odd, doesn't it?
Live.
No. Seems like you win the bracelets in Vegas.
Okay, so yes, all of your questions are very apt and right on. From my point of view, like having my ear to the ground and finger on the pulse and kind of having an understanding of how these companies are all interworking, this doesn't strike me as odd at all. And this has a lot to do with what I was complaining about when I said the small buy-ins are, you know, basically thumbing their nose at the clientele, right? This is a free roll that is meant to be a bracelet event and a part of the summer schedule. So why is it a Commerce? There was no affiliation to Commerce prior to this. Zero, right? Prior circuit events were always held at the bike. And that was obviously, you know, a choice for whatever reason. I don't know why they were at the bike. I don't really know how the circuits work. I think it's like WPT, where the casinos license the WSOP name ring rights, and then they bring circuit stops in. But I'm not entirely certain. Anyway, why Commerce? What's the draw here? What made them decide to do this last minute? Because we have a clear asset here from June of last year, June 29th, that says the highly coveted $1 million free roll will be returning a similar format as the 2022-2023 season, kicking off with Choctaw circuit events. The official WSOP gold winners from either live or online circuit events through May 2024 will qualify for the invitation-only Tournament of Champions during the 2024 World Series of Poker Tournament at Horseshoe and Paris at Las Vegas.
So another Conrad, shout out to Chris Conrad. He said they were actually also bracelet events in Atlantic City, New Orleans, and Cherokee.
They gave a bracelet?
Yeah.
I don't think that's true. I think Kevin Math tweeted that they used to give rings. Hold on. I have the asset here somewhere. I'm fairly certain I just saw Kevin Math tweet somewhere today that only recently, only the last 2 years, have they started giving a bracelet for TOC.
Interesting.
I could be very wrong about that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll check Kevin Math's Twitter.
I just know Chris has been following this grind for a long time.
Yeah. I mean, look, I've only played the TOC maybe once, if ever.
You played it?
I think I qualified 1 year when I got second in a circuit. I think I had enough points to qualify. But I may not have. I don't even know.
I mean,
so you didn't get it from winning a tournament?
No, of course not.
Like, from outside all the inconvenience of going to LA, like, to play.
Is this it, Matt?
Yes. So it looks like it only awarded it the last 2 years, as far as I understand. And that could be wrong.
2 years.
Yeah, I mean, some people are. Yeah, Stefan Song actually just said Tournament of Champions has always been bracelet.
Always, forever, and ever.
Yep.
Interesting. I wonder why he qualified as only the last 2 years. I always thought it was a ring event. Okay, so I'm wrong. So they have ran bracelet events in other venues, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Being Cherokee, Atlantic City.
It's kind of surprising.
Yeah, a little bit. But I guess it's just mostly surprising because you have a bracelet series. Like, it just makes sense to pigeonhole it in to that schedule,
like, it's a
right?
bracelet event, but it's a closed event, so it doesn't feel like a true bracelet event. You know, it's like they're kind of, it's like a,
well, it wasn't a closed event in previous years, like, or some people could register.
Yeah.
It was still closed.
I guess it was closed.
It's
just
like when someone gets an honorary
in.
Degree, it's not an actual degree. It's just like when you win that, you know, it's like a closed field event. It doesn't feel like an actual bracelet.
Right.
No offense to all the people that want it.
What so many people were upset about on the internet is like, also like, besides the fucking inconvenience of going to LA to play this, is there's a 7% tax.
Right.
Which is absurd. Like, nobody wants
that. Oh, that's
shit.
True, too. I didn't even think about that.
So it's like, it's a 7%. Ha! Right on top of your head.
Right. And I don't think people pay enough mind to that because they just withhold at the cage.
Yeah.
I don't believe that there's any way that you get to skirt that. I've cashed LAPC a couple of times and I know that they withheld it and I had to file to get it back by demonstrating cash losses in LA.
That wasn't hard, was it?
No. No. But that being said, you know, that's a big reason why LAPC has struggled throughout the years. Even when LAPC was at its boom, when, like, you know, first place was a million plus, a million five, whatever, like the main event was booming, they would run a 25K high roller alongside of it and it never did numbers.
Mm-hmm.
It was just always incredibly small because people didn't want to have to deal with the tax issue.
Yeah.
So that then brings back the question of, like, why Commerce? Of all the places on earth that they could have ran this, like, if they were gonna pull an audible and not run it at the series during June at the Horseshoe, why Commerce? Why not Cherokee? Why not back to AC? Why not Florida? Why not Choctaw? Why not one of these middle of America stops? And I think that it's directly correlated between the relationship of Bally's and GG. That's my best estimation.
That would make sense.
As far as I can tell, this is like a small scale test to see how well bracelet events outside of Las Vegas will do.
How do you think it'll do?
Very poor. Very poor. I don't think the LA market cares nearly as much about tournament poker as other markets throughout the country. Their cash scene is like way too bustling. And they just have notoriously not done numbers on MTTs, and I imagine it has a lot to do with the 7% tax.
But yeah, the other events are, they're ring events, they're not bracelet events.
Right, but they also get you qualified for
the TOC.
TOC.
So hold on, you guys told me before that the bike used to run something that was fucking huge.
Legends,
that was huge every year, right?
They still run it, it's just not big anymore.
I went like last year.
WPT pulled out of all California. Except for Thunder Valley. That's the only remaining WPT stop.
And even that one's like relatively small.
That shit is awesome.
First
that's
was 300K.
Spot.
Yeah, which is a lot smaller than years past.
It is.
I mean, maybe not recent years past, but like when it very first started during the California swing, I want to say that was like 2013-ish. No, later.
Like, you look at other bigger
maybe like
stops.
2016. It was closer to like $500,000 to, like, first.
Well, you look at Florida. Florida's sick, right? Cherokee's sick. Choctaw's sick. First is way more than that.
Yeah. Yeah,
Thunder Valley's kind of small in relation to all the other ones.
Correct.
Not that it's a bad idea or whatever, but.
Well, where are you going with this, Conrad?
Fuck. What was...
You were talking about California.
Oh, wait, no. I still
lost
it.
Talking about Thunder Valley.
No, we weren't talking about Thunder Valley. God damn it.
You're talking about running big things at the bike. They used to run Legends.
Oh,
the tournament.
Oh, yes. So, like, why were they big back then with the 7% tax, and now, like, we just all figured it out, maybe? Like, people.
I think, no, mostly it was WPT's affiliation.
Okay.
And maybe that's what they're speculating here, is that by bringing the name brand of WSOP back to California, it'll do numbers.
Like, give me a bracelet because I can play them.
Right.
Regardless, mm-hmm. like, fuck
right,
the state
but
tax.
Like,
and also,
but you can't win a bracelet there unless you actually have already won a ring or you win a ring.
Only
in
for this tournament
events.
Only.
So there's only 18 people that can actually win.
Yeah, but I'm looking into the future here. Like, this is for sure, step back away from the surface level of this,
it's
right?
It's a trial,
like,
run for the future.
Yeah, this
events.
Is definitely a beta test for, like, GG is going to take over the WSOP at the end of the day. Like, Caesars is looking to exit. GG is absolutely looking to buy. This relationship is not accidental. Okay, they've already been, like, you know, partnering for the last
X amount of years. We already saw the dry run in the Bahamas of like what an online live hybrid event ran and headed by GG would look like.
Mm-hmm. And it went well.
It went relatively well, sure. Right? Like all things considered. The next step then is like, can they take over production, right? Can they replace PokerGo and do what PokerGo
and
does?
And just do stuff in-house.
Right. So it's like you get this small scale test of 18 events where, you know, who knows what the field is going to be? Who cares? They already have a relative setup there. I know they're bringing in like the PokerGo team. I saw that Platt and Hanks are going to be doing like all the commentary there. And, you know, like there's this whole
That's
trifecta.
That's interesting actually, right?
No, because imagine the WSOP as a singular entity and their collaborative orbit.
I mean,
right?
With the inclusion of people from PokerGo.
That's what I'm getting at. Think of the collaborative orbit of WSOP. It's PokerGo, it's GG, right? So PokerGo is the production side, GG is the online side, WSOP is the sole brand. They all are extensions thereof.
So why do they need this in LA versus Vegas? If they're still going to go with PokerGo?
Well, I don't know why specifically they chose LA. My best speculation is that it has something to do with Bally. There's no Bally studio here any longer because Trop is getting torn down.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't think that like it's a coincidence that it's at Commerce when Bally just started their live stream there.
But doesn't
Again,
Bally,
like I'm speculating,
doesn't
but,
Bally compete with PokerGo in a way?
No.
It's because one's behind the paywall, one's free.
Let's call a spade a spade. Bally's not competing with anybody. Okay, like we could start a fucking stream in our basement and they wouldn't be competing with that stream. And that's no slight against Bally. It's just they've clearly positioned themselves to not give a shit about...
And we'd have sick lighting.
Their lighting's got better. I actually watched a couple days ago. They started to do some accent lights in the background. It looks great.
They're cooking.
But my point is like they clearly don't give a shit about YouTube and streams.
It's just kind of there to be there.
Yeah. Well, not just that. I assume that they're building a product for something down the line.
But that's not YouTube.
I assume it's not. I have to assume that whatever it is that they're building, it's meant for commercial television or whatever the case may be. Or who knows? Like, I truly don't know what the underlying schemes are for all of these different arms in this space. But what I do know is it's like very clear that there's a big corporate aspect to all of this. Right, like obviously the people playing the TOC were never considered in making this decision, right? That has to be abundantly clear to everybody at this point.
Fuck you guys.
Because right, because most of them are on the East Coast or in the Midwest somewhere. LA is the farthest fucking point for the vast majority of the people who qualified.
And probably one of the most expensive.
Definitely the most expensive.
Next year it's in Hawaii.
And certainly the least convenient.
Do they have a hotel room there?
No. Yeah. Commerce does. Commerce does. Okay. Yeah. Not great, but yeah. So like it's the furthest point. It's definitely the most expensive. It's the least convenient to get to. And the timing of it all is also like ridiculously inconvenient with conjunction of the World Series. Mm-hmm. You would think that it at least would wrap the day that the WSOP starts or the day before, right? Where now everybody's in LA, it's a short flight to Vegas. You just come, but no, it ends like a week prior,
or at the very end, or whatever.
At the very end of what?
WSOP. You end the tournament champions.
I don't think they want to do it that way because bracelet qualifier. I mean, it becomes weird because you have to put a hard stop on when you can qualify for this year.
I guess you can just hard stop it when the WSOP first live event. Runs.
Yeah, I just think that kind of gets a little confusing.
Yeah, it's like you win a bracelet this year, you qualify for next year.
Right,
kind of annoying, I guess.
Which is the way it's going to be. It makes sense to kick off the summer with this. But again, we're being semantical. This doesn't really matter.
It does suck though if you're from like Detroit and then you fly there and then you have to fly back because what are you going to do for a week after it's over?
They can come to the MTT Academy is what they can do. Well,
it just becomes a little painful for
academy.software.io.
And to be fair, like this is why I talk about this is why I talk so much about this is why I talk so much about the small buy-in stuff. Because that's entirely what the series is. It's clearly
they came out
pointed.
With the schedule.
I don't know if it's out or not, but if it's circuits, like
it's going to be smallish.
The biggest one's going to be 2K, 2200. Yeah,
I mean the circuit here at the Horseshoe, like there's a 3300 running right now.
Is there?
Yeah.
What do they have, a high roller and a
higher roller?
I guess so.
Super duper roller. That's cool. That's actually cool because actually they're trying things. That means because I've never seen honestly.
Like anything. There was a 2200 and then there was a 3300.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever seen anything over a 2200 personally.
For a circuit?
In a circuit series. I haven't been to many, but I don't think so.
Yeah.
Which shoe circuit right now?
So I'm reading. I'm reading like how the circuit. It just says about the WSOP circuit. It says each stop typically features 12 official events in 12 days, including a $1,700 buy-in main. Official WSOP circuit events range in buy-ins from $250 to $5,300 and award a prestigious gold ring to the victor. I assume that there are very few 5,300s. I would imagine that those are like very specific stops, maybe like Choctaw.
Like 53?
I don't even think I've ever seen a 5,300.
I don't either, but...
I would actually...
I'm trusting that they run.
I would wager that maybe there was one online.
Wasn't there one here last year during the horseshoe?
I would take a bet.
I don't think
maybe
so.
That was a 3,200.
Even with that being there, I would take a bet that there's never been a 5,300 circuit event that's live.
I think that's egregious to say.
I've seen.
I'm pretty confident they haven't ran a 5,300 online unless it was on GG.
They definitely ran a 5,300 online.
Not circuits.
I don't know if it's been a circuit.
They're usually bracelets, right?
A bracelet. But they have like 777 or 888.
But they do run circuits on GG, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, so they definitely have run a 5,300. Like main. Espen went deep in one, right?
Espen went deep in the WSOP legit online main.
Oh, it was the bracelet, right?
Yeah, he went like legit online WSOP main. He FT'd that too.
Right. But I think that they run pretty big buy-in circuit events
they
on
run
GG.
Like, they do. So and I the would circuit imagine, series is actually going on now.
Right.
Patrick just got second in the 400 like Colossus Bounty.
Right, so like this is kind of like what I'm talking about.
For 200 in a 400K. You got 200K in a 400.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's sick.
Stefan Song said last 5,300 was Hammond like 2018.
Okay. Yeah. So it's definitely not a common thing. The point is that circuits are clearly pointed towards the smaller stake buy-in stuff, and I think that this is, in my opinion, like writing on the wall of how little that they care about that actual clientele. Like I know that the framework is always like, this is the entry point to the WSOP. We have to run these small buy-ins because it brings in tens of thousands of people and yada, yada, yada. And it's like, maybe that's true. Maybe it's not. I don't really know. And I don't care about the buy-in level. I truly don't. Like you can run a $1 one if you can get it off efficiently.
You still want to get a bet on that.
I just don't care about any of that. I care very much about the ability to run these things well and efficiently. And in my opinion, this is a clear case of disregarding what the consumer base wants. Nobody wants to go to LA. And most importantly, nobody wants this to be announced 6 weeks prior to the event taking place after an entire year has passed of people believing that this event was going to be run in Las Vegas in June.
Yeah.
Right? And I think that that's like the biggest disconnect here. Whenever it comes to the actual consumer base and the I guess like the entities that are involved in running this, and the issue there becomes that we all believe that the WSOP is its own autonomous entity that makes all of the high level decisions and is pulling all of the strings, and you know at the end of the day the buck stops here. Like WSOP is making. I don't think that's true. I think that by and large, the WSOP is a name for hire, and whoever their partners are that are paying top dollar to leverage that brand name are ultimately the ones that are making the final decisions.
All right, let me ask you a question. What do you think there's a possibility of the WSOP bringing the series outside of Vegas? Do you think it's a possibility to make it better?
I don't know. But I think within 5 years, there's a high probability WSOP is owned by GG and the summer series in Vegas is nothing more than an afterthought.
As in you think there's multiple series going on year round?
I think there'll be multiple going around year round. I think that there's a high probability that the summer series either moves to Europe or there are two summer series, one in Europe and one in Vegas.
They have that now, kind of?
No.
Like that
no,
WSOP Europe, right?
No, but like that's in October. You
mean,
like,
I mean simultaneously.
Yeah, and like there's, I mean, shit. Everything did fucking crazy last year.
It makes the field softer for us Americans.
ETT make it smaller nuts. Too, though.
That's it was fine. EPT, right?
EPT.
Yeah. Was running with the series?
Yeah.
Yeah, and just, both did really
well.
Is that
a bad thing if there's multiple WSOP, like, call it big monthly-long things in different places in the U.S.?
Well, currently...
Like, once a quarter or whatever?
Well, smaller pools, right?
Yeah.
Less money.
For sure, smaller pools. I mean, like, that's a big thing. You won't hear me bitch about buy-ins at that point because you're going to be running a 400 with 1,200 people in it, and I'm not going to care. It's running a 400 with 27,000 people in it that makes me bothered. Right, not because the prize pool is large. Like I think that's fantastic, but because
you can't, logistics of you can't 27,000 people.
Yeah, you just can't handle it. Like with the dealers are the worst in the fucking world. You know what I mean? It's like year over year we have the worst fucking dealers in the world. I went to Canada and they ran a series at Playground that definitely strained their resources as far as like what they could handle capacity wise. Every single table in the place was full. There was an alternate list, and it was only like a 1,200 person event. But they had the absolute best 120 dealers I've ever seen in my entire life.
I can't wait. Speaking of Canada, I'm going up there.
Yeah, you'll be there in May.
May 14th. Can't wait. I'll be running the meetup game.
They're fantastic.
What the hell?
And like, listen.
Yeah, what the hell?
like, listen, it's not reasonable to expect to scale that to 1,200 of the best dealers in the world. But, you know, there should be some... I don't want to judge or criticize, right? Because I don't know how hard it is to fill those seats. I do know that year over year, dealers quit about halfway through and they lose a large chunk of what they've hired. The point that I'm getting at is like, if you cannot hit a certain standard with certain aspects of the resources, then the rake is no longer getting utilized in a favorable way to the clientele and we're overstressing the system. That's my biggest complaint with the small buy-ins.
Question. What do you, if let's just say the speculation, like your theory is correct, and there's going to be multiple series across the U.S., what do you think happens with something like the main event?
I don't know. I think I could see it rotating year over year.
Like 110K main.
Do you think they would keep the main event in Vegas
no.
as a staple?
Do you think the movement of the main event?
I could see it being in Dubai. I could see it being in Australia. I could see it being in Macau.
I don't know.
It's like a destination Macau's starting to run
tournaments now.
Do you think it's a movement?
I know I'm not pissed. I just can't see that happening. I mean, it's like
I
the staple.
Hate you all.
Sorry.
You understand that GG's number one clientele is Asia, right?
No, but now I do, I guess. Okay. I don't know.
It's not the United States. Sure. It's 100% not the United States.
So my next question, do you think that is any dilution to the brand?
I think everything has diluted the brand, but
who cares?
But I don't care about that. That's when I care that the brand dilutes itself in the way of being a non-serious like a non-serious event. Like this commerce event to me is very non-serious.
Okay.
I think that the vast majority, maybe not the vast majority, but I think the simple majority of people who qualified aren't going to go. It's not worth it. The EV of the seat has been reduced from 10K per person 5 years ago to now being worth somewhere in the neighborhood
so
of like
I think,
$250.
I think what they're thinking or what they're hoping is that they do go and they have 18 other events to play while they're there.
They're
right?
going for so a $250 like, though, but like, and you have to pay for everything. Like you don't like, so in Vegas, like some people have some status, they get free rooms,
yeah,
they can do things.
Right.
Like this is the problem that I see.
Also, I'm exaggerating. The seat's worth a little bit over $1,000.
Maybe they're going to give everybody who want a seat a free hotel room, like a week of hotel or something like that.
All right, maybe they have to do something.
I'm not saying they
won't do that though.
The
reason they were able to do that at Cherokee is because it was only 100 people that qualified.
See,
now they have almost 1,000.
700,
people.
Yeah,
almost 1,000 people that are qualified.
Yeah, it's just like there's so much expense toward it. Like I could see less than fucking 30% going.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's shit. It's gonna end up being a 5K seat.
You burn up all your equity in just the travel fees.
Well, that actually speaks to a good point. If a lot of people are speculating that the majority of people won't show, now their seat does become worth a lot more, and they start to show up again.
Yeah.
So what I actually speculate will probably happen is the 18 events leading up or 17 events, whatever it is leading up will, I don't want to say flop. They'll get off and they'll get a few hundred runners.
Mm-hmm.
So they'll look like a normal circuit, but it's not going, in my opinion, it's not going to do what people think it's going to do.
So, I mean, tournaments aren't, their turnouts aren't bad in LA. They do the quantum shit that gets 300K
that's,
up top eventually.
I think that's strictly at the bike though. That was a Mo invention.
It is the bike thing.
And I don't think Commerce has adopted it. I could be wrong, but I'm pretty confident they weren't. They just ran LAPC. I don't think that they were doing any like quantum type of phasing. Maybe they were doing a little bit, but
what is the quantum?
So basically, you can buy in for like 250 on day one, let's say, and
you play down to the money, and then you can buy into day two for like 40 big blinds. But it costs you
10x of what the
more because you're playing to the money. You don't get it at face value.
So it's like 250, and then like 1600, and then like 3500 or something like that. So like you can buy into day three for 3500.
Gotcha.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that that's the correct.
That's
stepping, but
definitely
but
not the correct. Right, definitely
that's the structure
not the correct.
Of it.
Right.
It effectively created almost like a satellite feeder pool into a true event. So like, what would they do? They'd run like 16 day ones of a quantum, and it'd be really cheap, a couple hundred bucks to get into, and then that would all culminate in a day two where you could buy in for like thousands and get an average stack of like 40 bigs or something like that. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you could continue to do it in on a day three or not, but yeah, like I don't think that they were doing that. LEPC, like
somebody said, they were definitely doing this at LAPC.
Okay, so it is definitely an LA thing. I only see it there, or I have only seen it there. Maybe it's running elsewhere, but I don't believe that the numbers were like massive at LAPC. I
don't think so either. Honestly,
I saw Fausto made a couple final tables, and like they were, you know, reasonable buy-ins, like 1Ks, 1500, stuff like that, and he was cashing for like 7,000. Like 6,000, first place is like 50K. You know what I mean? Like these aren't blowout events.
I'm looking up quantum stack stuff and like a forum, and then people are like, "Oh, I don't like it. It's good for the pros." Yada yada. And then someone just goes, "Play cash."
That's truly the answer to all of this.
Nice.
Just play cash. But
get bracelets for cash games.
Right.
Most action player.
I like that. Yeah. So like getting back to some of the feedback here, Mike Holtz spoke out. He said, "What a joke, Tournament of Champs a week before the series in LA. The level of greed displayed here is really something." So I think that it's worth picking at that statement, right? Because when you say the level of greed here is really something, what are they exactly being greedy about? You know what I mean? And truthfully, it's like, it's really just redirecting people to commerce, to a series that nobody otherwise really wanted to go play. Which is obviously going to be a bit of a rate trap, especially when you're paying 7% tax on top of it. And again, like the questions I want to ask are not like, why is this a bad choice? I think it's evident to everybody why it's a bad choice. It's very inconvenient to the players. It doesn't do anybody any favors. Nobody gives a shit about the additional 18 rings that you get the chance to play.
Not to mention, most of these things have always been at Caesar's properties where everybody has some type of status that like grinds. Like, and that they can get free rooms.
I don't think that's entirely true, right? Choctaw has no Caesar's affiliation.
No, Choctaw doesn't. But like a lot of them, I feel like...
I don't think Cherokee does.
Cherokee does.
It's a Harris?
Yeah.
Really?
Cherokee's a Harris.
Oh, okay.
And like they had Atlantic City, but like
Atlantic City was a Harris. What about is it Hammond?
Hammond, yeah.
Is that a Caesar's property?
It is, but they don't have a hotel.
I see.
So
yeah, actually, maybe you're right. Maybe it is mostly. I mean, the bike never was, obviously. Mm-hmm. And we know that they licensed their name out. Like, I don't have any issues with that kind of stuff.
I just think that like doing it, like making the tournament champions there, it doesn't make any sense. Like for like that part of their brand, like,
that's the specific thing that I want to like really. That's like the conversation I want to have. Is I don't want to fall into the trap of just like waving my fist and yelling like this is an outrage. This is so disrespectful to the players. Like we all know why this is a bad idea.
Yeah.
Right. That's very clear to me. It's why.
Why? Yeah.
Why are they executing on a bad idea? Because there's no way that anybody was sitting around in a boardroom saying, like, this is fucking genius, guys. Right. Like, we should definitely run a huge series right before the WSOP and also give them a five-day buffer before the first World Series events, even though they're only 300 miles away. Like, this is genius. Nobody did that. Nobody for sure did that.
Wait. Did you see video footage of nobody doing that?
Nobody did that.
Listen, I'm not putting it past
billion-dollar brands don't become billion-dollar brands because they're stupid. They become billion-dollar brands because they're greedy. So it becomes a matter of like where is this decision rooted in greed? Because it almost certainly is. And from my perspective, that's what I believe is likely to be moving forward in the future. It's like this is the Bahama stop. This is trying to find ways to integrate all of their different working arms
together, right? Whether it's Poker Go staying on as production or GG taking over production, which we know that they've been moving in that direction for quite some time. Game of Gold, they bought out the rights for Poker After Dark. You know, it's very clear that they want to be a content churning machine. They want to compete in that space. They already have the online format set up. Like, they've already integrated with WSOP in Toronto. Yeah. They want to be the platform moving forward, integrated with WSOP, right? Mm-hmm. We already saw 888 saying that they're going to cease their operations in America or start to scale back. Now, that was only on the betting side, but the speculation is that they may then remove themselves from the contract that they have with WSOP in New Jersey and Nevada, which opens the doors now for GG to potentially enter. So what about all of this benefits these arms of WSOP? And it just seems like it makes sense, because I don't know what the inner workings of all the contracts are, but my best guess is that PokerGo has Vegas under contract. So if this were at the World Series, it would have to be a PokerGo branded event, right? It would be their production team. It would be them that's live streaming it. It would be them that's doing all the producing in the back end, right? If you move it to LA, now it could be anybody.
But it is PokerGo.
It could be bad. Well, it's just their commentators.
Oh, it's just Brent. Okay.
So, right? So what you're saying is it's like a contract. It's Bally. Just in Las Vegas, it has to be PokerGo.
I think. So I'm speculating. I don't know for sure. I mean, Bally, but doesn't that make sense?
No, yeah, of course. But doesn't this like a step on toes, kind of? Like, if so?
I don't think anyone has that level. Like, at the end of the day, WSOP is going to do business with a bunch of different people.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what I mean? Like, if they decide to stream a circuit event in Choctaw, I don't think PokerGo is going to get upset and be like, yo, what the fuck? We have a contract.
Right.
Like, their contract is with the World Series of Poker Summer.
Yeah. Right.
It's the bracelet events.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I think that, like, this just makes a lot of logical sense to me. GG has some sort of sponsorship ties with Bally. We see their name all over the fucking felt. And you know, maybe they just want to do some sort of 18 event dry run.
So I'm just trying to think, like, from their perspective. All right, maybe they were thinking about, so I don't know if any circuit stops have been streamed before.
I don't think they have.
I don't think personally they have either.
The TOC may have been in the way back years.
Okay.
But I don't know. It was pre-PokerGo.
Like, until I feel like the Tournament of Champions was actually streamed recently. Like, the...
Well, the last 2 years,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah, last 2 years. But, like,
and way,
that,
way, way, way back when it was in Atlantic City in, like, 2007, I remember Alex, the Jeopardy. Why can't I remember his last name?
Livingston?
Jacob?
No, Alex Jacob, yeah. I remember it was at the Taj back then. Like, way, way, way
no,
back
that
then.
No, that was the U.S. poker.
Oh, that's that right.
That was something completely different.
Yeah, it was like U.S. Poker Championships. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, maybe one of the draws that they saw to this was getting all the other final tables on stream. If they're saying this, they're...
Who's they?
Huh?
Who's they?
The WSOP.
What do they care?
You're right.
They just sell... They literally just sell their name for the circuit. They don't give a shit.
They don't give a fuck. So
they have no care in the world about this
stuff. It's just... Like, the people at Commerce that basically wanted everything there.
Commerce, like, obviously wants it there.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're probably paying a price to get it there.
Gotcha.
Right?
But how would...
Then it becomes a question of who wants it streamed.
Yeah, but then why would WSOP ever land on wanting to bring the Tournament of Champions there?
Well, it's probably part of the deal, right? It's probably, like, part of, you know, whether it's with GG or whether it's with Commerce or whether it's with Bally or whoever the case may be, it's probably leveraged to sell higher.
Okay.
Right. But the point is, like, this obviously was a decision rooted in profit because it was made 6 weeks prior to the event.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's no accident that it's being announced now. It's not like they've known. I would eat my fucking hat if they've known this since November.
I mean, like, the thing about it also, like, all right, so let's think. Maybe there was 200 online bracelets. I mean, rings and or rings and bracelets.
Probably more between GG and WSOP. Probably more, because remember, it's Pennsylvania, it's Michigan, it's New Jersey and Nevada,
and it's the rest of the fucking world.
Also, rest of world playing on GG. Right.
So there's like what, maybe at least 400 of those people. It feels like will not be showing up.
Maybe, maybe not. I mean, it does give. I wonder if it further incentivizes Euros to come or less incentivizes them?
Probably
less. Because if it could just be a part of their normal WSOP plans, probably better. But now they have to extend their trip a week.
Yeah, and that, go to a different location. Where...
Well, the different location doesn't matter because they're either going to fly into LA or New York anyway. Sure. Right? They're not going to fly direct to Vegas. That's pretty rare.
Yeah.
So that probably doesn't matter a ton. It's the additional week of time in America, the additional week of travel. It probably disincentivizes the European market for coming, which, you know... Now that makes a strong argument for why GG wouldn't want it there.
Yeah.
Because it's their clientele that won't be showing up, mm-hmm. which isn't great. I don't know, man. To me, this is just so speculative. Like, there's so much room for speculation, I should say, because it doesn't make any logistical sense. And for them to do something that's so disincentivized logistically, then it just... To me, there has to be some sort of ulterior motive. And I think, like, if you start to try to put the pieces of the puzzle together of how this is trending forward as it moves, it's very clear that the WSOP is positioning itself to be a lot more global, which the WPT has been doing for years. That's their direct competition, right? At the end of the day, those two want to actually butt heads and fight for the number one spot. Mm-hmm. And currently, they're two very different products. WPT is a year-round tour that is very, very global in nature. They're, you know, on all four corners of the earth and at way different ranges of buy-ins, right? The prime is effectively the equivalent of the circuits, but they're global primes, right? Like, they're effectively global circuit stops, which, to be fair, WSOP's also expanded into that. Let's not forget that they ran a circuit event during Triton in London.
Yeah.
So there's a big expansion taking place here at that small buy-in level, at the circuit level. It then becomes a question of, like, how much of this is going to transition into the bracelet events, aka the main feature of the tour, replicating what WPT does with their main events. Think about how many $3,500 stops there are throughout the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Very well could be something where bracelets are no longer a summer thing. It's just a year-round thing in different parts of the world at different times.
You think that's fine? I don't think it's that big of a deal. I mean, it's already happening now, but online.
No, I don't.
But online and live are so separated.
Yeah, this is different. This is like, this is taking the allure.
Imagine
if
you eliminated the summer.
That's I think what you're getting at, right? Yeah. Right. Once you start putting different bracelets and huge bracelet events all over the world, now all of a sudden it dilutes the summer. The summer's not like, it just lowers the
The summer would never be deleted because WPT would just pick right up and they would just make a new summer.
I don't know
why they make all the fucking money,
but
there's no need for like
the reason is because currently that system is built around the WSOP main event. Mm-hmm. It's specifically the WSOP main event. So could they move, like, let's say that vanished tomorrow, the mm-hmm. WSOP stopped caring about the summer.
Okay.
Could WPT potentially move their championship to the summer there and build everything around it? Maybe.
I mean,
but you have to be very mindful of the scale that we've reached with WSOP. This is again, like, doubling back to my debate about whether or not they should continue to have smaller buy-in tournaments. Maybe you can't put the genie back in the bottle. Maybe it's too late. And that's kind of what I'm speaking to. But we've gotten accustomed to a certain size, a certain number of buy-ins, certain levels of prize pools, that if WPT tries to do the same thing at the Wynn, where they have maybe 1/10 of the tables and 1/10 of the staff, what are we going to do? You know what I mean? Like, is it going to get the same allure?
You would get what you wanted.
Well, no, I wouldn't. Yeah. I mean, yes, I would.
Yes, I would,
but everything else would also suffer, right? Like,
yeah,
no, the point is WSOP is large enough already where the main event is not going to go backwards,
mm-hmm.
right? You're not going to suddenly start seeing like 3,000 entries, mainly because of the price point and the lead up and everything that's been built around it, like over the last 40, 50 years, whatever the lineage of the WSOP is. But when you bring in a new event, like the WPT Championship, to replace it, it doesn't have the same structure. It doesn't have the same backbone mm-hmm. that the World Series has, right?
Sure.
So now you need all these other events to kind of prop it up, but you're not able to handle the same sort of math. Like, think about the WPT Championship as it is. It can't handle the same level of flights per day like the WSOP main event does, right? WSOP main event is a fucking freeze out.
Yeah.
WPT is a freeze out per day. And it's still capped at a certain level, and they're still only getting half, slightly less than half of the prize pool that WSOP main is doing.
Yeah.
Right? Like, again, it all comes down to resources. Right? So it becomes very difficult to see. They would have to take over convention space. It would be a big move. Let's put it that way. It's doable for sure, but it would be a very, very big move. And they would also be competing with the fact that other
properties would be trying to take that time.
Exactly.
Well, I mean, they would. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that it would 100% be in their mind if that was to happen. Like, they would never, there's never not going to be a summer in WSOP.
Right. And like,
I mean, in Vegas, sorry.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe, maybe not. I truly don't know. Honestly, like, personally, I wish it was a different time of the year, but
I mean, if we can go back to October, that was fucking amazing.
It was, but like, look at the numbers. It was the lowest of all time. Yeah. Not of all time, but like, of recent
history. Yeah, but I mean, that was also because I understand.
Let's just take a test run this year.
But the thing is that the argument that has always been made is that the summer is a lot more availability, not just for players, but for recreational help as well.
Right.
You can get a lot more dealers when teachers are off.
Right.
And they're looking for part-time employment and all these other things.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, like, look.
Kids are out of school. It's easier for people to go on vacation and come out for a week and play a couple tournaments. And yeah.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to make this more than what it is. Like, as it stands, and for what we know, it's just a massive inconvenience to anybody who qualified for the TOC.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's going to hurt the turnout. Like, I don't know what the actual percentage of qualifiers were that showed up last year, but I would take, you know, under this year. Like, let's say 80% showed up last year, I would take like under by a pretty significant margin for this year.
I don't think it's going to do what they wanted to do as prop up their previous events. Like, I don't think it's going to, like, the previous events are going to be so much more better. They're just going to get a couple more shit regs in there and that's it.
It's just very strange to me to announce Commerce as the latest ring stop, totally out of the blue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, totally out of the blue, we're going to add this new ring stop, and it's going to host the TOC immediately. It just doesn't make any sense. Like, the big reason why...
I mean, you said why it made sense.
No, I understand, but I'm speculating.
Yeah,
right?
Sure.
Like, I'm just totally just my own conspiracy theory brain kind of venting on air. But like, when you look back throughout the years, okay, 2011, Caesar's Palace is who hosted the first TOC or whatever the fuck they were calling it at that time.
Right? Like, championship?
Sure. Whatever. At the time, Caesar's had the biggest tournament room in Las Vegas. I remember, like, it was incredible the events that they were able to run. The NBC Heads Up Championship was there. Every year they had multiple like big stops, including ring stops that went really well. 2012, WSOP Vegas hosted it, right? These are all very natural fits. They're staples of the brand and the series, right? Yeah. That makes a lot of sense. 2013 was Harrah's New Orleans. Like, okay, that was probably a bit of a gamble. You know, like, much like this Commerce attempt, I imagine that one probably didn't go over all that well.
Yeah, I mean, it was probably a better gamble. I don't see New Orleans being very expensive. Like, it's a Caesar's property also. Like, it's like, so it's, and they probably gave out free rooms alongside with the, at this time.
Most likely.
I know they have in the past for years. So, like.
Right. And then again, 2014, AC, it's very similar to Commerce. It's difficult to get to.
Also, they get, like, this is. Yes.
But it was also at least a staple stop.
Yes, that's true.
Right? Like, all these, yes, your bigger point is true. All of these stop, or all of these places I'm naming were Harrah's properties.
Yes.
Right? Which is a big deal, or Caesar's properties, I should say. That's a big aspect of it, right? Because people are collecting a lot of comps throughout all of this. They're putting themselves in a position. They're familiar with the stop. They probably went to the original.
They just get free rooms for the most part. Like, you just, or you stay for like $35 a day or something like that. Something affordable. Like, you might not pay fucking resort fee. It's just like, it just makes sense.
So then from 15 all the way through COVID, it was at Cherokee. And that was just like understood. It was like, you're going to go to North Carolina. I can remember Jay Merce like leaving. I don't remember if it was Florida that conflicted or Borgata.
But like WPT was running 3,500 and he would like play the main bust and then immediately go to North Carolina or vice versa.
Yeah.
To just go play this like 200 person 10K.
Yeah.
And it was worth it. Like it was a big staple event. It was prestigious, whatever. Then they ran 2020 online because of COVID. There was no 2021 again because of COVID. And then the last 2 years has been WSOP. So throughout the history of this event, it's always been on a Caesars property. It's always been one of the features of the circuit tour, so to speak, with the exception, I would argue, of like New Orleans. That's probably like the one that was like, hey, let's take a little gamble here and see what we can do, yeah. Right?
Now, and like I said, I don't even think that was a gamble compared to what sure. This is.
Now, all of a sudden, we're bringing in a property that has nothing, no affiliation to Caesars, no affiliation to WSOP, no affiliation to the circuit stop whatsoever. Nobody's ever played one at the Commerce.
Yeah.
Granted, they've had them at the bike in the past, but you know, not as of late. And suddenly we're making a TOC stop,
mm-hmm.
Right? Like, this is where we're going to host the Tournament of Champions. It just feels, I don't know, man. Shady's not the right word, but it feels like there's something underneath all of this.
Stinks to high heaven.
It does. It just does. When things don't make sense, it just, it's a little stiff. It's a little stinky. Yeah. It's wafting, if you will. You know, there's just something going on here that doesn't add up. And for me, having been around for a long time and seeing how this stuff tends to play out, something's in the works. Something is going to change. Our normal is
time
not going to be.
Time will tell.
Our normal is just like getting uprooted a bit, right? Like, mm-hmm. I don't know, man. Do you think that there's a world where the WSOP just becomes a tour and the vast majority of the buy-ins are ranging from $400 to
$3,500? I don't.
If we never get regulated online in America, maybe, because the longer that goes on, then the more that the global poker community grows, like right. outside of America, right? Mm-hmm. So it's just getting bigger and bigger as compared to how it's growing in America.
Oh, I should be
right. Sure. So eventually, that's why you said they want to move globally, because that's where the money is. That's where it's growing at the greatest rate.
Yeah, I suspect. I don't think I'm out of line in suspecting that like there's a bid to move the WSOP summer.
Man, I can't see it, Berg. I mean, you might be right. I just can't see it.
There might be a bid.
I really can't. It's so big. It's so huge. It's the biggest thing in. It's the biggest thing in
poker.
Why
couldn't it be bigger somewhere else?
I don't know. Because why? Because it'd be very hard to do. Because it's such a staple. It's like everyone knows.
It would only be hard for you.
What do you mean it would only be hard for me?
It wouldn't be hard for Brian LaManna in France or why? Brian LaManna in Italy.
What do you mean?
The version of you that exists in Europe would find it much easier if it were hosted somewhere across the pond.
We live here, so it's convenient for us.
Right.
But like, there's so many other people playing.
But then
otherwise.
It's still convenient for everybody else that doesn't live in said place.
Yes, but that's the same
not
shit
just,
here.
Right?
That's honestly the same
right,
thing here.
Right, but it's Las Vegas. People come to Vegas. It's like it's such a great place to come to play the game. Like,
I think you're projecting a bit.
So, you know, that's
know.
Not exactly
I don't know.
The reason
I don't think
why.
So.
I would guess the year-over-year...
Brian
year,
doesn't want it to happen.
The year-over-year...
I think if next year, if the World Series of Poker was in Paris, and I mean actual Paris, then I'd think the numbers would be down.
Probably year one. But I would guess that like year over year.
Significantly down.
I would guess that year over year.
Down you would get no Americans.
Oh my God, shut up.
No, what? Like,
you won't let me finish a thought.
I'll just fucking leave.
I guess.
Fuck it.
I'm just saying that.
I'm not allowed to finish my thought as well.
When is it over? What I'm saying is.
I'll see you guys. I just walk
up. What I'm saying is that year over year. I would estimate that the rest of world attendance in Vegas is decreasing. And the reason that you're seeing so many expansion of the numbers is because it's tapping the American market.
It's true.
So it's like, what about the rest of the world? Like Conrad's point is very valid. And actually you said this too. It was your point originally. If the United States doesn't get regulated, then you're just going to continue to see poker grow elsewhere, right? Like that was your initial point when we started this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. So if that's the case, if the rest of world
is outpacing America in the growth of poker, why wouldn't you want to bring it centrally to the rest of the world?
Because it's not... Well, the reason why...
Because I still think that Vegas is centrally, is central to the rest of the world. Well,
the reason why Vegas is central to the rest of the world is because it's accommodating. Vegas is very accommodating for this. There isn't that many places around that's going to be accommodating for most.
I don't know if that's true.
Like rest of the world, why is there going to be a ton of places?
If you look at the actual setup of what we have now for the World Series of Poker, like... It's on the Las Vegas Strip. We have so many places that you can stay from $50 a night to $500 a night. Everything is really localized. Las Vegas is relatively cheap. We've got great dining. Flying in is relatively easy. I don't know. I was going to parallel like the actual World Series, like baseball.
Right.
Like, let's say there's an argument for, you know what, let's try having the World Series in Japan or a place where baseball is starting to take off. Would it have the same... Would it have the same appeal? Would it have the same draw? Probably not. I feel like the World Series of Poker, the branding, poker itself, poker was, as far as I understand, made here in the United States, right? I feel like the draw is just here. It's just, it's
you know
Vegas.
That we've been sending like NFL teams to Europe and like their last place teams competing against one another, and the draw has been magnitudes larger than America.
They love it.
They're obsessed, and I think a better parallel is the Olympics.
Could you
imagine the Olympics only being in America every single year?
The Olympics has always been
known for being a global competition. What I'm saying is this, like, poker started here in the States, right?
Right.
It's like table tennis, ping pong is very huge in Asia. If they decided they wanted to start having the world championships here in the United States, like, would it really take off here? I don't know if I'm reaching or not.
Well, I think the bigger thing that we're talking about is just like how much of the summer market do you think is non-American? If you had to guess, and again, I don't know the answer to this. We're just speculating.
I'll take a guess. I'll say 20%.
I would say about the same. Yeah, I would say about the same. That would be my best guess, right? Now, if you have a feeder site like GG pumping people into bracelet events from all across the globe, like a good example of this, how much of the Bahamas WSOP do you think was American?
Again, I'd be guessing, but I'm going to say...
Obviously, we have no idea.
I'm going to say 60%.
I would take the under. I'm going to say less.
I would think less than half.
I was going to say like 35.
Yeah.
So you think 65% of the field is non-American?
Yeah.
In the Bahamas.
So let me say reason why. The reason why I think that is because we had the wind running here as well.
Right.
So like there was so many people coming here for that. Like Euros went to the Bahamas for the tax break. Like they don't have to come here and pay fucking X.
They don't get withheld.
Yeah.
Right. So I think that's true. And I think the same would be true of like Rozgadov. I doubt that the majority of the field is American. Now, granted.
Oh, I think way less than 20.
For sure.
Yeah.
Nikki P was there though.
And granted, like Rozgadov doesn't do particularly well from a number standpoint. And the Bahamas was like meh. It did okay. Like, especially for year one. But my point being is that if they were able to centrally locate geographically where it was a shorter flight for as many people as humanly possible, as many markets as humanly possible, right? Maybe that's London. I could see that being a pretty good spot and venue for something like this. I would imagine...
Well, let's just talk about the European market in general. Like what I'm saying is, and again, I don't know these places, but... Vegas seems ideal because it's in a casino, it's on the strip, and I'm saying locally, for people to stay and who want to play poker, it's within 5 to 10 minutes. Like, let's say you have it in London. Let's say you have it in Paris. Like, do they have a similar setup where you're hosting this event, you can have thousands of people within a very tight area come in and play?
I would imagine major tourist cities would be pretty easy.
And on top of it, you're at, like, this is a lot of people staying for a month. Like, right. Vegas accommodates so much
not
for
only that,
people
it's
for
cheap.
A month.
It's cheap.
It's cheap. It's free for a lot for, like, some people.
I think you guys are exaggerating that quite a bit.
I'm not. Like, I think a lot of people stay for very cheap for because they have whatever, some type of status, and it's still, because it's not hard to get.
Sure.
So, like, if you bring, that's a decent amount of money for a month.
But that status will, I mean, you assume that wherever they run it elsewhere. And also, I'm not suggesting that it will never be in Vegas. I'm just suggesting that I believe it's likely to move around.
Okay, yeah. I'm just arguing that I think the fact that I think the numbers would be, but like then again, they wouldn't be down because somebody just said WSOP had 9,000, Europe had 9,000 entries. So it's like,
right.
It's just, it would just
And I think be, that was a 5K instead of a 10K, but still.
And it would just be less Americans. That's just all it would
right.
be.
Right, right. So it's
Fuck
like.
Fuck you, Americans.
Look, I'm not suggesting that Vegas will cease. I'm just suggesting that I feel like.
It's possible it can go elsewhere.
I feel like a lot of operators in the rest of the world feel ignored. And if the brand shifts to a rest of world operator, that's probably going to be something that they're interested in. You know, as much as Stars is interested in getting back into America, I'm sure that WSOP is quite interested in getting into the four corners of the world.
Yeah, that's right? true.
Not out of America, but like expanding the reach beyond America. Like yeah. It's clear they have America on lockdown. We all pay homage, or we all pay every single hard-earned dollar that we have in rake to WSOP events, and nobody really ever questions it. So it's like, at what point does it actually become worldwide instead of local? And I think that that's the direction that very likely moves.
It is possible for poker to be like a worldwide thing, right? Like, call it the World Cup.
I mean, it's pretty clear
right?
that Isn't it
the, is. The World Cup is in different places every year.
Yeah.
Why can it not be the same thing? And you're arguing that it can be.
I'm arguing that it probably can.
It's possible.
And I think that you're going to lose a big chunk of the American market the times that it's not here because we're very...
There's also stuff going on here.
Well, for sure somebody else would swoop in. Right, like if they pulled it out of the summer here, Conrad's right. Like somebody WPT or somebody
like the
else
win might just run something sick. Right.
But they also just might run WSOP circuit events here for the Americans that don't want to travel.
It's true.
What I mean? And just crank out a bunch of 20,000 person field $400 events. It might just be a whole summer of that.
Or just have like, but call it series every quarter, right? And then you have one in the U.S. every year, and then you have three in other places.
I mean, that's already kind of happening.
The only dilution to the brand to the people that just don't want to see it happen.
Yeah, but who cares about the dilution of the brand?
Yeah, again,
but it's not though, because it just would be against like the people that just don't want to see it happen, like people that are here. Like
at the end of the day, the brand is the main event.
Yeah,
as long as the main event still functionally
runs,
and you know acquires upwards of 10,000 runners
and exists.
Yeah, as long as it exists and it's still getting that sort of turnout, it doesn't matter what they do elsewhere.
True.
Everybody will be tolerant.
Doesn't matter. Yeah.
Right? And it just really comes down to a question of, are the two arms of the WSOP going to be American Live and Rest of World Online, or are they going to start to merge those two worlds together?
And it makes sense to merge it.
Sort of.
You can also just have online and then, because those places, you can have online and then run live tournaments at venues. Like right. Here, you can't do that yet because of legislation.
Right.
You can't run day one online, day two's live.
Correct. I mean, it was merged back in the day, right? Kind of. It was like a lot of streamlined to the main event.
Sort of. It wasn't directly through them. They were so fucking big that they were a hub to every single site.
Yeah.
So Party Poker would run main event satellites. They would run satellites in the 1500s. Right, like you could literally play like a $10 rebuy that would get you into a $1,500 bracelet event. I remember it was a zoo whenever you would come in for the summer. There was booths. There would be like a Party Poker booth, a Poker Stars booth, a Full Tilt booth, like all these booths. And you would show up and you would stand in line and you would say like, I want X tournament. Like you'd give your name, you'd be in this list and they'd be like, oh, okay, we'll take you to the cage and get you registered. Because they were effectively playing middleman. Right, like you, the person, had to physically register, but they, the company, wanted to like facilitate that, and I don't remember how they did it logistically so that no money changed hands, but like you know, effectively, it was no different than running a basement game where your league leader got to play the main event. You just trust that when you give him 10K, he's gonna go sign up. You know what I mean? But yeah. I don't know. They might have had different logistics back then because I remember I won my main event seat, my very first one through Party Poker, and I don't think I ever touched a dollar of it. Mm-hmm. Nobody ever handed me 10K. I just was able to be ready. There was probably a partnership, like a loose partnership
between
the
sites.
You're
on a list or something.
Yeah, exactly. Just show up to a cage. Exactly.
That's what happened with WPT for 10K seats. Like you want a satellite, you show up to the cage, and then they say, hey, like, what's your name? And you give them your ID.
But it was only strictly through their site, correct?
Most of the time.
What I'm saying is WSOP, whenever it was pre-Black Friday, was so big.
It was just everywhere.
It was everywhere. And actually, I want to say that WPTs initially had this as well. They had this like vein where you could play satellites online and kind of just like show up and make a 10K, which obviously back then that was amazing. And now with regulation being a big backbone to all of this, it becomes pretty critical for us to like go through the proper channels, right? So it's going to be like WSOP affiliated sites now are going to be the ones that are running satellites for you to win in. WPT affiliated sites are going to be the ones running satellites to get in. You know, like you're never going to see a WPT satellite on GG, and you're never going to see a WSOP satellite on WPT Global. So like regulation has really shaped the market in a very different way, I think. But yeah, I don't know. I'll be curious to see how this experiment plays out. Are any of you qualified?
No, what? We're not fucking qualified, but we are laughing because Levada might kill you at sea.
I'm over this conversation. It's boring. Let's move on.
I'm fucking dying.
Brian's in the muck. Brian's segueing.
He's fucking stewing right now.
The turtle's in the muck.
I'm sorry, I got a fucking jag off over here. Telling me to shut the fuck up.
I didn't tell you to shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it's exactly what you did. Listen, man, I've been doing fucking P90X. I might go over there and kick your fucking ass.
Brian's just sitting there with a blank stare.
I got things to do.
I got crypto coins to look at. You know, check the price on Bitcoin.
He's got some dog whip hats.
Oh,
yeah.
Man. Oh,
it's
man.
Just a dog with a hat. Guy.
Whiff.
I got to catch the flight.
All right, let's see who's in the muck.
All right.
Oh, man.
All crimes are crimes of passion.
All right, well, we got an In the Muck segment. And it comes from Chip Wrangler. And with a name like that, you know this came from Texas.
Texas,
yep. So they're playing a $130 buy-in tournament. And the blinds are 2,000, 4,000 with a 4,000 big blind ante. And we see Gun 8 open to 2.5x, 10,000.
He's adapting.
Right, yes. Folds to the hero, Chip Wrangler, in the big blind with 86,000. They're 86,000 effective, so about 21.5 big blinds. And he has ace of clubs, queen of diamonds. He elects to call. Flop comes 10 of clubs, 8 of diamonds, 6 of hearts. We check. And the original opener checks back. Now we get the king of clubs on the turn, giving us a gut shot. And we check again. And we're met with a 3/4 pot bet of 15,000. I guess it's a little less than that, maybe 66%. And we decide to call. And now the river is the 3 of clubs, bringing backdoor flush in.
Ooh, and go for it.
Yeah, and we decide to go for it.
Attaboy.
For 35,000 into 56,000, and we get a fold.
Nice.
Now, the hand worked out. We won the hand, and we got chips. But I think, you know, Landon being the MTT specialist has a few concerns with how we played this hand.
I have to say.
I like it.
If we have to fucking piss off Tortoise to get that hand history out like that every goddamn day, I will fucking do it.
That good? That was really well done. That was almost rehearsed.
Yeah, I had time because I was over the conversation. I was prepping for In the Muck while you guys were fucking rambling on for another 10 minutes about shit we've been talking about for 3 hours.
Hey, there you go, team. We've finally done it.
We broke the tortoise.
A little tortoise prep, and this is the pristine hand history reading ability that you can get.
When do the fucking Pirates play?
All right. I mean,
pray for bro.
What exact decision does he feel like has him in the muck? Because I feel like it's pre.
So he's thinking about the river lead bluff and like, is it a good bluff? Obviously it worked, but you know, I think so. Mainly, he said, is the river lead bluff a terrible idea? But like we said, we have a lot more issues here. I mean, we're very, you know, when we're at what, 20 big blinds, you're looking to get it in.
And a half. You're looking to mostly get it in,
right?
Also, and
especially with a hand like that,
with
out of position offsuit hand, but good hand.
I can give my brief
synopsis of this, being a non-MTT guy, but just studying it from Chippy V, I think it's Jampri. I think that's like abundantly clear. As played, I think the River Bluff is probably pretty good. I think you're going to have a lot of pair plus flush draws on the turn, and you're not going to want to check those on the river. So if it were high, if the SPR were greater than one, I think this would be bad.
Yeah.
But in an SPR of 70% or a little bit less, I think this will exist at some rate. And I don't, I mean, I imagine like theory, we would just have ace jack with the ace of clubs, not ace queen. But you know, that's reasonably fine. And then maybe we have some other offsuit combos like queen jack with a club, jack nine with a club. Although, yeah, I don't know. That's my basic. Oh, I didn't realize he didn't jam river.
No, yeah, he didn't jam. Hat, no.
Oh, I take it all back. I take back every word of this.
No, he took that WAPO strat. Right.
No longer a thing.
Right. You should probably.
At an SPR greater than one, I just don't think we get to play this way.
I mean, don't jam, but like leave one chip back.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, he covers, so he doesn't have to.
Also true.
I don't know if he covers or not. This he just play, said they were. He said they were 86,000 effective.
This could play as a call sometimes, yeah. I think. For 21 bigs from undergun one?
Maybe.
I don't know. I definitely, because I wonder, like, when are we getting the fold? Like, we're not getting.
It's not about folds. It's about getting to realize your equity. You have ace queen out of position. Like, you're just going to be in spots where you have to check fold. That's bad.
Like, I'd feel much better about jamming ace 10 off than.
No.
Whoa.
No.
Red card.
Bad.
Red card.
Bad man.
I mean, like,
bad man. What are you trying to get king queen to fold?
I mean,
why would you want that? You have ace 10,
right?
Yeah, right. I mean, I wouldn't jam ace 10 off, but I'm just saying, I'd feel much better.
No. Yeah,
I don't want to jam ace 10 here,
right?
Like, I'm not at full.
I'm pretty happy to jam ace.
Jessly, definitely not at full.
All right, well, I'm the jam monkey, so I could be very wrong. What do you got for me, Landon?
You're not wrong, but it does mix like everything.
Yeah,
like
just to give a quick, just to see where they are, where the stage of the tournament is. There's 116 people, he said, and there's about 40 to 45 players left, and they paid 13 spots. So ICM, there's always ICM implications, but not like super great at this moment. Like, so it's not like they're on the bubble.
It's like half the field is left or something.
Right, yeah, a little less. Yes.
Like 37%.
Let me try to see if I can find something close. Let me try to find something close. Big blind. Like this, you can filter by stack. See, now here we are. All right, you can just do it this way. Now on the big blind here in this spot with ICM, you jam more. And also with the 2.5x open from him, you're going to want to jam more too. So it jams most of the time versus min versus 2.5. You're just picking up more dead money and playing out of position sucks.
Right.
So ace queen is just going to be like the top of your jams with ace king. And then you're going to have eights through tens and then fours. And kind of just play
it never calls.
So the machine is never calling with ace queen.
Machine is not calling pre. Wow. You're either going to induce and try to get like an ace wheel to jam, which isn't going to happen in practice probably.
Why is that so shocking to you guys?
But you can jam.
I don't know. Supernatural to just call with ace queen.
No, that I would never call.
Again, I don't play tournaments.
Right. Just, yeah, no, I would. Right.
I mean, I just didn't think it would be pure. I think there'd be some calls in there.
Why though?
Because
you just call ace jack.
Yeah, I guess.
Ace queen is just too good. You have two high cards. Like two very high cards.
I think you're considering this hand to be dominated at a far greater frequency than it actually is.
I just think it's like.
When you jam, let's take a look at the response.
Look at that. King 10 suited. Good hand.
Good fucking high five.
Yeah, so it's funny because the way the ranges work, like you can. I mean, the most King Jackson a full two, I'm sure. In practice, but it looks like you basically just get these hands to fold.
Look,
you get called
off
by ace jack suited. You dominate ace jack, king jack, ace 10. Like, so you get the money in versus suited ace.
Right, we're dominating.
You get some pairs to fold that you're flipping against.
That's
which is
great,
which is nice. And then we get called by other pairs that we're flipping against, which
Landon,
is also
this
great.
Is the response from the opener. Yes,
this is the opener after he raises and the big blind jams 21.
It just feels like in practice they open tighter from here, so it's just like we're just up. We're not in the best situation.
I mean, we're dominated by basically
two hands,
3, 6, 18, 24 combos, and then we dominate ace queen, ace jack, ace 10. So that's sorry. So we dominate like, I don't know, 9. If you consider king jack dominating, which I think is pretty fair, we dominate like 12, and then we flip against another 24 candidates. Like,
we just have so much EV.
You flip against 24 and you also get 12 seven, to fold.
Yeah, yeah, right.
You get this to fold, which is good. You also don't have to play out of position, which is a big big win.
Right.
So, especially with offsuit hands.
Offsuit hands, not great.
Yeah.
But like ace jack, it's the reason why ace jack calls and ace queen jams. Like there's just the line.
Yeah. Yeah.
What does ace queen suited do?
Ace queen
calls some.
I would think.
It induces. You wouldn't jam. Right, you jam
ace sorry. Yeah,
so it's good enough to induce and it's good enough to call sometimes offsuit, because it plays much better.
Ace queen, you can have a backdoor on the flop a lot. Ace queen off, you're kind of just like, I hope you fold, man. You're not, you're like, you don't jam this hand to get called. You jam this hand to not play the hand post.
Right.
Right. So yeah, you mostly just want to jam pre with this one. Ace queen suited flatting is call it more acceptable by the machine, but
that's a realization factor too, yeah. Right? Like when you're suited, you just get to see rivers at a much greater
frequency. You flop it backdoor and get the peel,
right?
But ace queen
or even play check raises depending on boards.
Yeah, sure, probably not as much as ace queen in general.
Right,
hand really good.
Yeah,
use lower, but that's why you jam like ace four, ace three, right? You jam like king 10 suited because the idea is you get these dominating hands to fold. King jack probably gonna fold. Ace 10 off folds. King queen folds offsuit and suited, which is great, like a big win.
All the suited middling aces fold.
Yeah. Yep. They're all mad and then they don't get to play.
Right.
And then they also have to call you off with ace 10. And if they don't, the jam with king 10 gets a little better. Yeah. But anyways, point being, solution wise, we check, they check back. That's going to be fine. They're mostly going to want to bet their strong hand value, like jacks plus, ace 10 off plus, kind of always. Turn, king, bad card for us. I would range check the turn. So like, I would just not play any bets. I would just like to remove this bet here and just like that. It's not going to change much, but you never know. So we check. He goes for like 62, 63%, which is good. Like the size here is going to be 68. And he's mostly betting his king X's. He doesn't have these like jacks anymore because they don't check back the flop.
Right.
Hand too good. So when he does go for bet, our hand too good, we just have to call. Ace queen off, really good hand. Club is nicer. It's funny because club isn't nicer, but kind of feels nicer. Like you look at ace queen, like ace hearts, queen of diamonds.
It's cropped. We can't see.
Okay. So I'll just say it. Like, yeah, you have ace of clubs, queen. It's worth 0.1, but you have ace queen, no club. It's worth 0.37. So it's worth more because he's mostly going to be bluffing with some flush draws, like ace five of clubs, ace seven always, and just like combo specific like that, like ace jack as well, I suppose. So we call river three and we don't want to jam because jamming or bluff at all because bluffing is like scary on this card.
See, no betting.
Yeah, just no betting, no bluffing, no nothing. So when we do quote unquote find it, the size we would want to use is like all in, and you get some good things to happen, like some king x is supposed to fold, even ace king, like not very thrilled to call off here. But the issue is that when we check, a king is still going to bet for us a vast majority of the time, I imagine. Not really, really. Like king jack, it's close. Like king queen, you need a club. Ace king is always going to bet, sure. So like you also get them to bluff with their ace jacks and their ace wheels if they're going to end up doing that. But of course, we can't call off with ace queen, but we're okay with just having a hand that can give us some protection on ace rivers. And
I also think something that
broadways as well
is worth mentioning here, just from a principled standpoint, is that your bluff on the river doesn't it's not as effective as you believe it to be. Facing a single bet that's less than pot doesn't suddenly make like good pairs fold. It almost is certain that when he wins this pot, it's because he just had the best hand on the river.
And he stopped him from bluffing.
Right, probably got like ace jack to fold, maybe a hand like queen jack or something along those lines.
Like it's never going to be a 10.
It's almost like a stun like bluff 10. Where you don't want to check fold, so you bluff yourself.
Right.
That feels a little heavy-handed to just say that this guy never folds a 10.
I mean, maybe he does, but he...
Well, 10 doesn't exist. It's mostly
right,
bet
it doesn't
the flop.
Bet the turn. Sure. It just bets flop. Sure. Right? A 10, 8, 6, I would doubt any 10s would check back the same way jacks through aces probably don't really exist.
Like, yeah,
so
look
really,
here,
you're
right?
Just
king,
talking about a king.
King, and king X, like king 10 is supposed to check back sometimes, which probably won't, right?
Right.
You look at jacks, queens, kings, aces, like these hands don't really check very often because your hand is so good and you need to get all the money in as fast as possible. So when it comes to the turn bet, the reopen action from the imposition player is going to mostly be a king or better, right? The king 10.
So, or like worse, which is just hands that we dominate, like ace jack.
Yeah, I was going to say, so like, even worse, we can't get a king.
It's a king or you're bluffing.
Yes, exactly.
Like there's no value. Like sevens isn't a value bet
on
the turn anymore. You're like, oh, like sometimes I bet a seven.
Yeah,
like
right. Like maybe he got him to fold.
Eight, like jack eight.
Like maybe the bet on the end got him to fold like the low frequency pocket sevens that he has. But
if he even bets sevens on the turn,
exactly,
which probably just checks back.
So it's almost certain that like when you bet the river and get a fold, you were just value betting.
Yeah, and then like if you're playing in Texas and you think someone's gonna fold a king, you should probably go move somewhere else.
Right. Right.
Like we're bluffing here. We're like, oh, we're gonna squeeze. You'll start folding king jack.
Yeah. But I do think that this is a mistake that a lot of people make, where the flush fills, they have the nut blocker, and they think that, oh, now I have to take aggressive action because they should be afraid of the nuts.
It's like panic jam.
But it's my bigger point is like this isn't how the game works. You don't get to go from being the bluff catching range to polar
on a card like this.
On just a very minimally shifting, right? It would be different with the nine of clubs.
It's different if the river's like an eight, right? Because if the river's, I wouldn't think a nine of clubs you would lead.
No, you're not going to lead any of these hands, but I'm just saying, like, if you choose to bluff.
Yeah, you do lead on a nine of clubs. Fuck me.
Well, the point I'm making is like.
You have queen jack here, though.
Yeah, but the point I'm making is that like the nine of clubs drastically changes the board texture to where one pair doesn't feel so good.
Yeah, yeah, sure. Right? Like
it brings in a one liner, it brings in queen jack, it brings in a flush, it brings in all of these things, even like two pairs.
Sevens. Right.
Yeah, that like now a king is very vulnerable against. Mm-hmm. But when it's the three of clubs, all that happened is a flush filled and a backdoor one at that. Right. So it's like your bet is nowhere near as scary as you believe it to be. So when you get called by red aces, and you go, what are you doing, man? I could have a flush there. It's like, you could.
If he didn't check back the flop.
Right, right.
So let's start there, right?
Right,
if he has king-queen, he's like, I could have had a flush. Like, yeah, you could have, but you don't.
No. Man, we don't communicate well.
Well, like, you're choosing combos that don't exist.
No, I'm saying as the person who breaks flow on river and bluffs and then gets called by, like, red aces.
He's saying red aces don't exist.
They don't exist because they see it at the flop.
Whatever, but my point is, like, it gets called by one pair of hand that doesn't block flush. It's like
like king queen, and then you say saying something exactly wrong.
Okay,
we need counseling.
I'm with you, Landon.
I got Brian on my side.
I gotta tell
now.
You, I'm 100% with you. All the way, baby.
We need counseling this week.
Because what I heard you say was, it sounded like it was coming from the perspective of the in position player.
No.
Right.
I'm saying when you lead and you get caught by one pair and you're mad because you said you can't have a flush.
Here at the Only Friends podcast, we're breaking down. Everybody's fighting.
We're breaking flow.
We need a therapist to come in and talk to us about our problems.
Man, we need a vacation. We need to go on a cruise or something.
It sounds like I had to go catch a flight.
Dude.
Great time.
Nine of Clubs is a fucking savage card.
That is a savage card.
I mean,
card.
It really drastically changes the board texture.
Right.
And yeah, like now all of a sudden, ace queen is a pretty nice one to have, right?
It is.
You block the nut flush, you block the straight.
Sick.
It makes a lot of sense to break flow on this particular card.
It wins a lot. It wins like a big blind in comparison to checking.
Yeah, and that's a sick one to find,
yeah,
right?
Cool.
But the other one's just the panic one.
Yeah.
Right?
Three of clubs.
I'm afraid I won't get the showdown ace queen.
Because now when you jam, a king is like, Jesus Christ.
Right. To the Christ.
I want a new river. Like, try again. Try again.
Right. Like, one pair is doing very poorly.
One pair is mad.
You start to reach for now your two pair plus combos that, you know.
Even King 8's pissed. King 8's indifferent.
Exactly. It becomes indifferent because, like, you still just lose to fucking straights.
Yeah. Like, once again, though, you're in Texas. You try to get someone to fold King 8, you're in the wrong state.
I know so many people that grab that nine of clubs and just start, like, pointing at it and like cursing at the dealer,
like flicking their hand.
Why
together?
The fuck did you put this card?
That's a good game, by the way.
Yes, oh no, that's a good one.
They need counseling too.
By the way, if you know someone in your game who's doing these antics, you're in a good game.
Very good game.
You're looking for signs for a good game.
It does make me feel a little good to see other people doing the same shit that I'm doing.
I was gonna say, because Guapo, yeah, you do seem to.
I do the exact same thing.
Right.
Not only do I lead, but I also take this hedgy bet, like, where I don't want to put all my chips.
Good example,
in.
Like seven of clubs here too, right? Four liner, things to make a king mad.
Yeah.
Ace queen again, pure jam. Wins a ton more than checking.
Right.
But like these are good ones to find because it's like, okay, the board texture didn't just change once, but twice.
Right.
Now there's a straight complete on
That's
many
like
sides.
That's like the only time that you get to leap from being the linear bluff catching range to now being the polar range, because you'll just have so many hands that complete in this particular manner,
right?
Because they don't really interact with the preflop aggressor's range. To like pull on a little bit of what Guapo just said, I think it's just very critical to
get outside of the living in the moment type of mindset and think more in terms of what could be, right? So like when you check call the turn, we already know what rivers can come and we know how they impact the board. We know that a one liner can come. We know that a flush filling card can come. We know that a one liner that fills the flush can come. We know the board compare. We know all of these things in advance, right?
Kind of why the machine like finds ways to get those out of the way, right? Yeah. Like you look here on the turn for big blind, you see that you get the check raise for all in, like two pairs vulnerable, king 10 for top two, king six, because you're like, the board gets very scary on a lot of rivers, right. So I need money now.
Right, right. So if we're thinking in that term, then we know what our range also looks like when these cards fall, right? So if a 10 falls, we know that we don't have full houses because our two pair plus check raise turn always. We exited the node on the turn.
And that's why you don't jam the river on a 10.
Right. So if we want to bluff jam a 10, we have to be very understanding that we're repping trips at best. And that's very important to understand because your opponent should also understand that. They will be able to deduce that you check raise all your two pair plus on the turn and that they've exited the node. Therefore, they're not against full house. Right. So they're not suddenly going to start folding trips, which would be a big error. They might not even fold top pair, because you probably don't have that much 10x in range.
A lot of your 10s are going to potentially fold the turn.
Nobody's folding a top pair in Texas.
Right, and also if you're trying to fold a top pair in Texas, you're in the wrong state.
Yeah,
they shouldn't fold it. But yeah. I think what's happening, what Guapo is kind of speaking to, is he lands on river and sees that, recognizes immediately, oh, the board texture changes, and I have a card that interacts with that change. This is my time to aggress. Yeah. And that's why you land on a hedgy size. That's also why you land on breaking flow in spots where it's not theoretically sound.
Oh, yeah. The nine is a queen jack makes it straight, but it's also a four liner like a seven.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what was our hero supposed to do there on the river land when it was the three of clubs? Supposed to just check and then are you supposed to bluff catcher?
I would fold every time.
Yeah, you're pretty bad properties to call.
Yeah, just zero. Just blue. Blue means bad. You're losing a lot if you bluff catch. You're just allowed to be like, you know what? Like, I called the turn because I'm drawing to an ace. I'm drawing to a nut straight. And sometimes he's going to check back ace jack and I'm going to win.
Well,
and
you also have the card that he wants.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Most specifically, you're blocking. Like, the reasons why you want to bluff are the exact reasons why you don't want to bluff catch.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right? Because you want him to actually have your hand.
Yeah. You have a negative card where, like, you see here, ace seven of spades for him that bets the turn, checks the river.
You kind of have two negative cards. Yeah. The queen's bad, too.
Right.
You want him to have queen jack and queen nine. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. If he...
Even queen jack checks back a lot, too. Like, you can't just go for it every time because it's just...
That's a very good hand for him to bluff.
Correct.
Right? He bets the turn
when
he's like,
ace queen
looks
is
like
a pure
he
bluff.
Catches up, you know, turns a backdoor bets, and then falls through on the river.
Brian, haven't you learned your lesson? Shut up.
I know.
No, he's cooking. He's saying correct things.
Have we taught you nothing?
Ace queen here is going to be a pure bluff for him. But ace queen for the big blind does have showdown versus some hands like ace nine, ace seven. So you do get to win, ace five even. You do get to win sometimes. Where you're basically just hoping for check.
Right.
You don't have to be like, oh man, like I have the ace of clubs. It's less likely he has a flush. And then you call and you lose five big blinds in one hand.
Right. I think a simple concept to understand is that when you have a hand of showdown value, it takes a lot for you to sacrifice that showdown value. Right. So for you to surrender that and actively decide to put money in the pot as a bluff, something very drastic has to have happened.
Yeah. Like they had to have like, call it, potentially gone for this bet 67% line and you're like, oh, like I don't know where to choose from, and like I guess I'm gonna bluff with ace 10,
right?
You or know? They picked up their hand and accidentally went to go muck it, but they weren't really muck it yet, and then
I don't know what that means, but what's the overall takeaway here as far as what we think of this play? What do we think the wizard thinks?
Well, I mean, the wizard's not happy.
Wizard does not appear.
Wizard's not happy on the three of clubs. If there was a nine of clubs or the seven of clubs, it'd be like, okay, it's pretty sick.
He's cooking.
You're cooking.
You're cooking.
On some serious, serious gas.
Jesus.
But you got a jam pre. You got a jam pre.
Jam pre.
Got a jam pre.
Jam pre.
Yeah.
Biggest takeaway here is jam pre. Very important to realize all of your equity with a hand this strong. If you guys would like to submit your own GTO Wizard, sorry, if you would like to submit your own in the muck, be sure to head over to our Discord channel, hashtag Discord, or go to our Solve for Y Twitter page at Solve for Y TV. It's the pinned comment. I'm literally going to change the OnlyFriends one right now. Don't forget to like, comment, subscribe, smash that bell. Make sure you get notifications for every time we're live. We are going to be coming
to you from the middle of the fucking ocean on Monday.
He went Don't to go say where. Live, but he stopped himself. That's right.
We will not be live. We're going to be doing live to tape. We're going to film every morning and upload at the normal time. So you can still expect to see us noon every day. Fingers crossed things go well. If they don't, it's all Guapo's fault.
Absolutely Guapo's
100%.
Fault. 100%.
100% Guapo's fault. So guys,
with a little bit of my fault sliced in there.
Maybe.
Just shut up, Brian.
I'm just going to sit quiet.
WSOP is moving, Brian. Just shut it.
What else is new? We'll be back Monday, noon Pacific, coming from somewhere in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. No. The Atlantic Ocean. That's my apologies.
Man, geography.
We're going to the Caribbean, right? Is this a thing?
Start right. Yelling geography at him next time, Brian.
We're going to the Midwest. We'll see you guys all then.
Name the continent. Peace.